Nice vibe, you know. It's been ages since I've been out. We look over there, 3 o'clock. Where? No, that's 6 o'clock. This way. No, that's 10:30, a little bit to your left. Oh, no, he's coming over. Looks like he's into you. Into me? What? Wait, where are you going? Going for a wee. Back in a minute.
I just wanted to say, yeah, you're stunning.
All right, yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Do you come here often, like?
No, haven't been out since 2009.
That's funny. Oh, I love a woman with a sense of humour, one that's beautiful too.
What? Are you here on your own?
No, those are my colleagues over there. We're actually out for our Christmas do.
What, like those old people over there?
Well, actually, they're not that much older than me.
Babe, you look 20 freaking five, yeah?
Oh, thank you.
Let me buy you a drink.
No, listen, I'm married.
That's okay, babe, I'm just buying you a drink, yeah? What are you having? What are you drinking?
What can I get you?
I'll have a JD and Coke, please, and whatever the lady wants, yeah?
Okay, I'll have this one, the signature cocktail.
You know, it's so nice being out after so long.
It's actually a really nice break, you know, from the kids and that.
Kids? You're someone's mom?
Yeah, I've got 3 children. That'd be 1680, please.
Oh, he's paying.
Hello?
What? Well, where'd he go?
1680, please. I think I'll have a glass of house white, actually. Sorry.
All characters and events depicted in this sketch are entirely factual. Any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is absolutely not a coincidence. I wish it was, but it isn't.
Welcome to the Sisterhood on Mommy Imperfect Christmas special. So even the Shut the Front Door panel has gone a little bit Christmassy today. And my panel include my sister-in-law Jodie, who you may have heard on previous podcasts, and the lovely Amrit from Amaretto's World. So let's see what they had to say about my Christmassy Shut the Front Door stories.
The first thing I want to talk about is I want to tell myself to shut up from 3 years ago, because Jodie might remember this, you won't know. I actually wrote a blog post about Santa, and should we lie to our kids about Santa? When is the best time to stop lying to our kids about Santa? Now, I actually went on national radio talking about this as well. And I actually feel like slapping myself a little bit, because like I still believe certain elements of that blog post, but I want to just say, you know, people can change. I've evolved a little bit since then. Mm. And my kids have gone a bit older. I'm fully into the whole thing of Santa. I still kind of wish I didn't start it, because I was basically saying in the blog post that it's a load of nonsense. We shouldn't lie to our kids. It's like if our kids had a brain, they'd work it all out because of the big plot holes in the whole thing. Mm. And it's just like, you know, when kids compare what they got, it's not very nice, and they should think Christmas is about family and fun rather than just Santa, like think he's some kind of god or something. That's what I was saying. I thought I was going to be chucked out of the country because
did you get a lot of backlash?
Oh, Jodie was going to disown me.
I was fuming.
Jodie was going to disown me as her sister-in-law. She was fuming. No, but now I kind of feel a bit like
I was
agreeing. Anyway, so first of all, right, I'm backtracking a little bit from that, because I now feel okay, kids can have a little bit of fun. It's nice, it's just a fun thing. They probably know anyway, because one of the reasons why I changed my mind is because I told my eldest daughter last year about Santa. She kept saying to me, oh, will you tell me, is it true, is it not true, will you tell me the truth? And then I just took her aside and I was like, it's actually the mums and dads. And she just looked so sad. But then since then she's not mentioned that conversation. It's like it's totally just like gone away, and now she just keeps talking about Santa. So I think she blocked it out. Either she blocked it out or she's just doing it for the presents. And I'm like, you know what? She's going to be 10, right? So she's an intelligent girl. She probably does know. But I'm at the point where I don't care anymore. I'm just like, you know what? Let's have fun, whatever. But what do you guys think?
I think it's quite nice actually for kids to have this little bit of magical element around Christmas, and you know, I think it's really good, and it's a really good way, because I've seen other parents do it. I don't have children, but in terms of getting their kids to act good and be good, you know, not just around Christmas time, but like it makes them reflect their whole, you know, yearly actions, you know, mm-hmm. that we should be good.
Yeah.
I think it's just a really good tool to make them understand that yeah. and just feel a bit like, you know, of the magic that they're going to get something from Santa. And but I've got a funny story to share with you, because I believed in Santa as a kid, like that he was a real thing. And one year, we never do stockings, but one year for some reason I got a stocking, and I decided not to put it by the fireplace, but to put it next to my bed. And I kid you not, I don't know how old I was, but I did not sleep the whole night, because I was so scared that this man's going to come into my room and put like some sort of toy or something in my stocking. And I just, my family thought it was so funny. They were wetting themselves. I was like awake all night. But yeah, I was just really scared.
Did you actually get a present in there? Did you get a present?
No, there was nothing in there. So, you know, I thought, oh, well, I've obviously been bad. Santa didn't come. It's because I was awake.
You're sitting there staring at the stocking. Yeah, it didn't really happen.
Oh, that is funny.
What do you think, Jodie?
Okay, I'm a believer. No, I still don't believe in him now, but I kind of wish he was real, because I have two children. It costs a lot of money. Hang on, let me just close the door, because one of them's still awake.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for them.
I'm in their bedroom. I've got nowhere else to go. Okay, so yeah, I know the thing is, it's just so commercialized, and people just go absolutely crazy now with buying things. You know, you've got social media, everyone's posting all these presents, what they've got. It's like a competition. I don't agree with that. And I feel
I'm with you.
Like, even for myself, I grew up, you know, Catholic, so Christmas was a big, you know, part of my upbringing. And my parents made a big deal out of Christmas. We would have the main present, we would have all the other presents. My mum would be buying presents from September. You know, I've had that, you know, I've grown up with it, so that's always been my way of thinking. So my kids have both had that. They've both had, you know, quite a lot of presents, the tree, you know, like I make it into a big deal. Like my partner, he doesn't really agree with the amount that like I've bought. You know, in every Christmas I've always gone over the top with it, but it's because it's what I've grown up with, but it gets out of hand, you know. Like I don't post things up on social media, I'm not like that, but I'm just saying it gets too out of hand and children get too spoilt with it. But I do love it, and I do think it's nice for children to have, you know, to hold on to the magic. Both of my children still believe in him. One of them's almost 10, but he's holding on to that.
It's a bit of fantasy, isn't it? I think it's really nice.
It is. So, yeah, it's but I do agree with that. I read a post the other day a friend of mine put up on Facebook, and she said she saw something. Someone said, for Christmas, you should say to your child, choose something that you like to read, something that you like to wear, or something that you like, I don't know, just a couple of little things, and then you can just, you know, you don't have as many presents. So it's just something they like to read, I think it was something they like to wear, something they like to play with, and then something else and something else, which I thought was a nice idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would go down with my children, but it's a nice idea, you know. I think because otherwise, you know, you do kind of lose. I do think Christmas is about family. It's also about that. I love the food. I love, you know, being around family and stuff. And I think sometimes people forget that. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're talking about going over the top and stuff, I was speaking to a friend yesterday who told me that her partner, her other half, she said that he got each kid, and they've got 20 they've got three kids, he got them 25 presents each for Christmas. 20
wow. And so that, I don't know that much.
Presents presents under the Christmas tree, and apparently the piles are so high you couldn't even see the tree.
Yeah,
that's mad.
I know. And then she went to, they went to sleep. They wrapped them on Christmas Eve and they went to sleep at 4:30 in the morning and the kids at 5:30.
Oh, no.
But that then sets up an expectation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. Honestly, I'm like, my kids will remember. They'll be like, oh, but last year we had this. So I don't want to set that expectation that to go mad, because it's like, no, we're going to keep calm. You know, you get little this and that. And I don't know, like, I'm Christmassy and we have celebrated Christmas and stuff, but we never had stockings or anything. But then 2 years ago, I don't know what came over me. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cute if we had personalized stockings? So I think I ordered them from eBay or something. And now I'm like, oh my God, I've got to fill these stockings. How do people put in stockings? Because we didn't do this. I'm like, oh, okay, this is another thing to do.
Yeah, back to the expectation thing. You were just talking about me now. So I remember one year when I was a kid. So my parents have always done Christmas for us. Like, I'm from a Sikh family, Punjabi. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate Christmas religiously, but I went to a Church of England school. So learning about Christmas was something in my upbringing. And all my friends, you know, they talk about Christmas and they're getting this. They ask Santa for this. They ask for this. I was like, we don't have a Christmas list. Like, my parents would just tell me to shut up if I asked for something. But I remember one, honestly, and then I remember one year, I really wanted do you remember those doll's heads that you could get to practice hairstyles on?
Yeah.
I really wanted one. So, you know, my parents were like, well, she really wants one, we'll get her one. And I remember waking up one Christmas morning and opening it, and it was a bit of a cheap one. And I remember just throwing an actual hissy fit and, like, throwing this doll at them to be like, oh, you've got a rubbish one. It's horrible. And then, like, I don't know if it was then or, like, later on, I was able to reflect upon it. And I was like, what a brat. Like, do children, is this what children ask for? And then how, you know, if they're not grateful. And I just thought back at that point, like, I can't believe I behaved that way. And I really think it's important for kids not to grow up thinking that they must get these things and stuff like that. Whilst that was an anomaly in my growing up, like, I didn't really always ask for toys, but because we knew that, okay, we celebrate Christmas culturally and not for the presents, not for this. It's always about having family around.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of nice that we knew we were going to get something special, whether that was like pajamas or like some socks and stuff. And it still is to this day. Like, I'm like 27 now. We just celebrate Christmas as a time for getting family together.
Yeah.
But we don't actually give presents, but every year my grandma will get slippers, my dad will get something that he needs and stuff like that. I think it's more around, you know, just having a little something. We in Punjabi we use the word nishani, is just like a little symbolic thing to open. So that's kind of like how I take on it.
Yeah, we're a bit similar because I'm from a Hindu Punjabi background, but went to a Church of England school. So, you know, obviously Church of England school being quite heavily into Christmas, like my kids go to Church of England school now. And we also celebrated, we had presents actually, but bizarrely, my mum and dad started doing Santa when we were old enough to remember not doing Santa. Like, my dad, it was my dad because he's from India and he didn't give a damn. But my mum was like, oh, your cousins do Santa. I think she thought, oh, their cousins do Santa. Why don't I do it as well? Yeah. And then I was like, what? Okay, thank you for the present, mum, Santa, you know. So it was a bit, I was like, okay, a bit weird, but okay. But anyway, so it's just, we like getting together, having the food and everything, which is quite nice, and have some presents. And then my grandma used to give everyone like £10 each and stuff, which is quite cute. So, it was good. But Christmas can be quite expensive. So that's why I also wanted to talk about how to actually cut costs at Christmas, because see the friend I was telling you about who told me they had like 75 presents under the tree. They went way over budget every time, and it was like thousands that they were spending.
Can imagine.
You know, a lot of money with three kids, and a lot of people do overspend at Christmas. I think I've got some, what stats have I got here? Okay, so the polls are showing that families with children under the age of 18 will spend anything from £1,000 to more than £2,700 in total at Christmas, and that is mostly gifts. And then those without dependent children spend less than half of that amount, actually. But 57% of people got over budget. And a lot of people are actually putting it on their credit cards. So
this makes me so sad.
I know. It makes me quite uncomfortable, isn't it, to know that that's how people are paying for it.
Yeah, like I feel like I've just become an adult because I've moved out of home and I've started, you know, really living for myself because I pay my own bills. Yeah. And that just hurts me to think that people, what I don't understand, why would people want to spend any more than they can actually physically actually pay?
I'm speaking
in a very different boat because I'm not a parent. Yeah. So, you know, I'm being very selfish and thinking of myself. But yeah, I do feel for like families and parents like yourselves who are in this position.
I think it's just pressure. I think people who do that, it's just, it is a lot of pressure. For me, I have had years where when I just had my first child, one of them just walks into the room. I didn't have a lot of money over Christmas. And, you know, I couldn't really buy that much. And there was honestly hardly anything there. But it didn't matter. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it didn't matter. I think now we're in a better position. And, you know, we're able to buy more, you know. So we do. And I think that I'm trying now to make a conscious effort of not going over the top. You know, I am like, okay, you know, do they really need that? No, come on. I'm talking. Why do you not keep coming in? Get out. Sorry, that's my partner. I'm not talking to my children. Go out. They're so nosy. But people do. I think it might be mainly white culture, to be honest with you, that spends a lot of money, because it's all white people I know are the ones that do it. And that's the truth. And I'm not, you know, I don't know that for a fact, but I feel like it is. I feel like it's gone from generations. Like my, you know, it's, yeah, you know, that's why, you know, that's what I believe, you know. Or I don't know. That's what I think it is. That's what I think it could
be. Maybe because
generations,
because I don't think I know that many Asian people or Black people that go like OTT like that. Like, there's one.
No, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've got one friend who's Punjabi like me, and I call her Mrs. Claus on crack because she she calls me Delia Smith on crack because I actually go really like over the top with food. And I'm like, no, you're Mrs. Claus on crack, because she goes mad. She's like, oh, I need to get some more of this for the kids. And I'm like, what are you doing? I've got like one present.
My little one's being sick because he's ill. Hang on, I'm gonna have to go. Sorry, Rita. Okay. Sorry.
It's better. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so have you got any money saving tips?
I think it just comes down to willpower. So today I went to the same supermarket, same brand of supermarket, two different ones in one day. So I went to do, so basically I have moved out now and I'm having my family over on Christmas Eve to my place. So I went out just to do a little bit of a shop, that, you know, the things that I'll need, some snacks, a main meal, something for dessert, right? I knew in my head, I had a list exactly what I needed to buy and I stuck to it. I may have got one or two extra things I thought, oh, it'd be nice to give as presents and stuff, that was just unnecessary, but they weren't too overboard. I stopped the line and I was like, no more. And then I went to the shops with my mum and she was like, oh, we'll need this, we'll need that. And I'm like, no, we don't need it. You think we need it. So you need to, I think it just comes down to actually looking at being realistic about what it is. And my mum will think, oh yeah, we need this food and that food, a bit like how you're talking about going, you know, really overboard with the food.
Yeah.
My family think that they're literally feeding 5,000. I'm like, no, we bought 5 bags of potatoes the other day. I was like, there's going to be like 15 of us for Christmas dinner. We're not having a bag of potatoes each. Like, chill.
I do stuff like that. I do as well. One thing I noticed, though, was that there's sales all over the place. So if you have left it till the last minute, you can actually get some really good bargains.
Yeah. I did pick up some like smelly bits today from Boots. And, you know, they had some good sales on. And,
there's loads. Sales,
bargains.
Yeah,
you can pick up bargains. But I also think, back to the point where we were talking about people going overboard at Christmas, I think it comes down to a lot of like marketing and social media makes you think that you need to spend so much and do so much, and it's all like a bit of a marketing ploy.
I know. You know what, Amrit, last year we went to India for Christmas time. So it was really nice, and it was like, so it was me and my husband and my kids and then my mom and dad and my sister who's living there at the moment, and then my other sister and brother-in-law and her two kids from here. So we were all together, which was really nice. And I took, one sec, I've got my little child over there. She's waking up, she's right. And I literally talk. I took like a book each for them, which was a Santa thing. And they didn't even care anyway. They literally were like, oh, okay. They just, so they just like, no, but they just, they got like, as in they were like, oh, that's nice. But they didn't care about the presents. And we went, when we were leaving, I was like, you know, it was Christmas everywhere, Christmas trees, this, that, all the Christmas advertising. You go to India and it's like, obviously there's Christians there, but it's like a small minority and no one's really that bothered about Christmas. And we were staying in, you know, Odisha on the East Coast. So we were staying, we were there in a hotel on Christmas, and they decorated the hotel on Christmas Eve. So that's the only time you would ever know, oh, it's Christmas. Christmas Eve, they decorated it. And they were like, oh, we're having a special Christmas dinner in the hotel. Make sure you come. We're having a candlelight dinner. And so the Christmas dinner obviously wasn't roast or anything, because it's India and they'll be like, what the hell is this? It was just like other different Indian food, like sweet chili chicken or something like that, like something a little bit different.
Just to make it a bit special, yeah.
Yeah, just to make it a little bit special and like different kebabs, you know. And slightly different biryani. But it was really nice. And like, I just took the pressure off, and it's just like you just enjoy being together. It was so relaxing, because normally I do all the cooking, and like I like it, but it does get tiring, and then you do the washing up and blah blah blah. So, and my kids are not old enough to help yet, so
yeah,
it's just mainly me, and you know, and I invite other people around and whatever, but still it's mainly me doing it. So it was really nice to have a break from all of that and just appreciate the whole being together thing.
Yeah, I get that, because since I can remember, like being old enough to be in the kitchen, I would always help my dad make Christmas dinner. He's quite the foodie. So like my mum's a really good cook, but she does a lot of the Indian stuff. So on Christmas Day, my dad would kind of take over and make Christmas dinner. So I've always helped my dad. And then it's got to the stage over the past few years where I kind of help him design the menu, and it's, we take a lot of pride in doing it.
Yeah.
It's like an activity that we do, you know, the kitchen is shut off from the rest of my family. It's just me and him. But it's quite a pressure, because also it's Christmas Day. You've got all your family round, and you've got to, you know, make sure that the potatoes are boiling for this much time, otherwise they're going to break, yeah. Or, you know, you're not burning this and that. So you're trying to sit down, socialise with your family, grab a drink,
yeah,
snack on something, but then run back into the kitchen. Then I get my dad shouting at me, then we fall out. And then, you know, if he sits down and I want him to help me with something, or I can't carry the big fat heavy turkey, and I'm like, oh God, give me a hand. And then he's getting angry at me for interrupting his socializing. So yeah, that can be a bit tedious. And then also I find that if you are cooking Christmas dinner, when it comes to your turn to eat the turkey and sit down and have your meal, you're not actually that hungry. So you can't really eat and enjoy your meal, because you've been in the kitchen taking in all the fumes and the tastes and stuff like that. And you just don't enjoy your meal. So no, I always
And then you're having little tastes along the way to make everything taste all right. And so you're not actually hardly even hungry when you have it, right?
You've put all that effort into, you know, as I said, design a whole menu that's going to, like, you know, make all your guests happy, but you don't even get to enjoy it.
I know. I literally one day spent the whole day in the kitchen. Everyone was like, this is the best thing ever. And I'm like, is it? Oh,
right. Well, I'm just, you know, sweating.
What are you making, by the way? What's your menu? Tell me.
So this year we've kind of gone really simple, and it's just quite a standard, like, turkey crown that we get, roast potatoes that are cooked in a lot of butter. Like, we go through so many, like, packs, sticky, or whatever you call them, of butter at Christmas time, because we chop up, like, a whole, thing of butter and put it in with the potatoes, and they taste amazing. And then we make, like, a garlicky herb butter that we put in the turkey.
That is very Punjabi, you know, putting butter in everything.
Yeah, but it tastes so good.
It's so good.
I used to make stuffing myself, which obviously contains butter and, like, vegetable fat. But we don't even do that anymore. My mum and dad did the shopping, half of the Christmas grocery shopping. And they were like, yeah, we just got frozen parsnips, we just got some frozen stuffing. So I think we're really stripping back this year to just chill.
You know what, I'm actually I'm cooking on Boxing Day, and I try not to, I don't know, sometimes I don't cook on Christmas Day. Like, I aim to, like, not switch my cooker on the whole day and just eat at other people's houses, just to kind of, you know, but on Boxing Day I'm making loads of food. So being like Indian, and then my husband is Ghanaian, and his family, like, they don't really appreciate the whole, you know, standard turkey and everything. They do, but they have to have like rice and other bits on the side. Wow. So I'm actually keeping it simple and relaxed by, I'm going to just do like roast lamb, but then instead of doing like a roast dinner thing, because by Boxing Day, I think people would have had enough roast anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, I think I might just do like roast lamb and like, you know, like just roast potatoes, but like spicy potatoes, and then a chicken biryani and like things like that, like more of like a buffet type thing. So you can have just whatever.
Yeah. That's good. It's kind of like, so I'm right now, recording this podcast, but I'm actually at my uncle's house for Christmas, because my like cousins and stuff have come down, and that's what my auntie was like. She was like, sorry guys, dinner served, but it's a bit of a mishmash, but it's, I think that's part of the fun of it, because
you're
all together and just muck in and pick the bits that you like.
And then like sometimes with us, like people drop in at different times, and I think sometimes with the roast, like it's like it's got to be ready at this time, otherwise it gets dry and weird. Whereas when you make other stuff that can be just there and you can heat it up when people come, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah,
to be there
totally.
Time, don't you think? So we talked a lot about family. Have you had any family dramas? Did it get a bit EastEnders at any point?
I think, well, the Christmas dinner cooking situation is always quite a big thing in our house. Mm-hmm. So my mum... my mum's thing is she is a cook of the house, but on Christmas Day, you know, she gets pushed out of the kitchen. So she feels like FOMO from not being in the kitchen. So she'll offer to help, you know, she'll run in the kitchen. And we have the tiniest kitchen for a Punjabi household. Like, I can't even explain to you. It's probably about 3 meters wide and 6 meters long. It's so tiny. Yeah.
Quite confined space for you and your dad on Christmas.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, I'm in the kitchen and my dad's a big guy, so he's like pushing me out the way when he's got to turn around. And then you've got my mum that's trying to come into the kitchen, and she's like, oh, well, I'll wash this. We're like, just let us do this one thing, mum, and then you can come into the kitchen. But you really have to like keep calm, because I can lose my rag really quickly, and my dad doesn't care. He has no chill. So he will just say stuff as it comes out, and my mum will take it the wrong way. And then, yeah, you get your whole dramas that way.
Okay, well, yes. Bit of a pressure cooker situation then in the kitchen.
Totally. What about you?
It's because we it's a bit weird this year, because like my some of my family are in India, and some of us are here, and we're just trying to just get as many people together as possible. But a lot of the time we all do get together, like my side of the family, and then we see my husband's family at some point as well, or we alternate sometimes.
So like that's quite a big thing in marriage.
It is, honestly. You just wait.
Asking my cousins, I was like, "What are you guys doing on Christmas Day?" They're like, "Well, we're going to his."
Hard to get the balance, and then because we were in India with my family last year, so you know what I mean. It's kind of, we have to do a bit of give and take. Like we've had some really amazing Christmases actually, and a lot of us have got together. But then there's one Christmas where I actually was crying into the Christmas dinner. Because it's a one-off. Like, I don't normally cry into the Christmas dinner. Yeah, I put, you know, the brine on the turkey. It's actually my tears.
Salty.
No, it's because that year, I remember, is when my parents found out about me and my husband, I was going out with at the time. And, you know, obviously he's black and they're an Indian family, and they weren't very happy about it. And they were like, oh, what are you doing and stuff. And the whole Christmas was about trying to dissuade me from it. And I was like, oh, no, I just want to marry him. And, you know, and for some bizarre reason on that day, we ended up as a movie choice watching American History X.
Have you heard of that film? No. So is that a storyline?
No, it's just, well, it's very violent, and it's about hardcore racists in America. Don't know why we watched that. I really do not know why.
No Elf, no Home Alone.
No, but I do want to talk about Christmas films. To end this, I want to talk about Christmas films because... I think the Radio Times, the BBC revealed top Christmas films, and I think the Radio Times did a survey, and the top film came out as It's a Wonderful Life, made in 1946. Have you seen it?
Nope.
I haven't seen it, and I don't see it, to be honest.
It came out in
1946 as a black and white film.
Okay, so I wasn't even alive.
I wasn't alive.
Know who it's like. Yeah, no, we both don't understand.
But I mean, it shouldn't stop us from watching it. It's apparently like a lovely story.
I imagine it is to get top film.
I know.
What else is on there?
It's about a man. Hang on. It's about a man who's devoted his life to helping others. But when he tries to take his own life, a guardian angel stops him and shows him the value of his life.
Real sentimental and good values in there.
I have a thing with black and white films. I'm just not a fan. That's really bad. But
I had to study some black and white films at uni. But yeah, I think because we're from a world where you just are so used to colour and seeing this, you know, high tech, high definition on screen, that watching something black and white, you kind of feel like you should be looking at a picture book or an album.
Yeah. You feel a bit deprived in a way, don't you, when you watch it? I know, it's really bad because I'm sure it's a nice story. And then what else is on the list? So the second was Elf.
I love
Elf so much. I love it. I could watch it all the time. I love it so much.
Have you been to see it in theatre?
No.
Apparently it's amazing.
What? There's a theatre version?
Yeah, so I think in Birmingham it's been shown.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see that actually. Yeah, I really like that. And then Muppet Christmas Carol, then Love Actually, and then 5 Home Alone and 6 Die Hard.
Die Hard is a Christmas film.
There's a lot of debate about Die Hard actually, because
I've never watched Die Hard.
There's a fierce debate. It's a good film. I have to say it's a good film. I like that film. But there is a fierce debate about whether Die Hard is really a Christmas film, because Bruce Willis basically plays an off-duty cop who walks barefoot through broken glass to stop a group of German terrorists. It's set on Christmas Eve.
That's not a Christmas film. Where's the snow? Where's the presents? Where's the family? Like, you're just fighting and stopping something happening here on broken glass.
Yeah, I know, but I do like it, and I can see why people would like it. But yes, it's not really, you don't think of it as a Christmas film. Home Alone.
Well, I guess it's just what... We're not your typical Christmas film, right?
No. Although one year, me and my entire family, like including my mamas, my uncles and my grandma and everybody, watched Titanic on Christmas. and that's quite sad at the end. And we were just like, sitting there, like, pretending that we weren't, like, emotionally, like, affected by this at the end. Like, everyone like, all right, okay. I don't know why we watch such weird films at Christmas. I think we need to sort it out. Honestly,
I'm really looking forward to watching this year.
Mm.
And it's the film, the circus film, The Greatest Showman.
That is so good.
I haven't seen it yet. So nice. And my family sits all around the TV on Christmas Day. Nobody moves apart from me and my dad, who serve dinner to them while they sat down in front of the TV. So nobody moves. And it's on all day, and that's just where all the conversation starts from. So something will be on TV and we'll talk about it. And if we're talking about something that's not even on the TV is still on, like the sound is still on. Yeah. Like, it's just nonstop. I'm surprised our TV doesn't blow on Christmas Day. But somebody told me that The Greatest Showman's coming on, and it's a really good family kind of watch. So I think we'll put it on the TV for that day.
Yeah, I think that's a really good choice. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope that Jody and the little ones all right.
I wish her the best for me.
All right, well, have a lovely Christmas, and thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you. No worries, it's been a pleasure.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel all Christmassy now. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, whatever you're doing, however you're choosing to celebrate. And if you're not choosing to celebrate, then just chill and enjoy yourself. Spread the love. Until next time, take care, and I'm going to leave you with this very special news report.
There is less than a week until Christmas Day, and in homes across the UK, fridges, freezers and larders are being stocked up with a large number of delicacies and treats. However, there is a phenomenon which has been affecting as many as 1 in 3 British Asian families across the country. The following footage contains distressing scenes.
Yes, Mummy got ice cream, yay! Mummy, can I have some of this because I finished my dinner?
Okay, Layla, yeah, you deserve it.
There's no ice cream!
Who told you there was ice cream in it?
It's dal! I want ice cream!
And the disappointment is not just affecting children. Sanjay works full-time and is looking forward to enjoying a well-earned rest in the Christmas holidays.
Oh yes, babe, you bought car door. That's a good stuff, innit? Mint choc chip as well, you know. No, don't eat that. Listen, I want to start working out in January. I'm bulking right now. I told you that, babe. Water. I told you not to eat it. It's crushed chilies. Why would you do that?
It's Christmas. People are going to come round. I've got to make subji at a moment's notice. Stocking up, innit?
It remains to be seen whether standard widely available Tupperware will ever catch on in British Asian households. That's all from me. Do have a very Merry Christmas.